Hi, Nestor Aparicio.
This is he.
This is Brad Delp calling from AZ.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I hope you were expecting me.
Oh, no. They never told me that you were going to be calling, but
no,
that's...
we had kind of a communications breakdown here.
That's okay.
Wait, let that make a nice song title.
Excuse me?
Communication breakdown. That make a nice song title.
Yeah, that would. Why don't you do that?
Write that down. I tell you what, if you're not busy, I'd be happy to speak with you if you want to...
No, I got time.
Expecting me, you know, however you want to do it.
No, please. I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Actually, you're...
I felt terrible because actually I'm a couple days late, aren't I?
Well, it's the problem. My son's sick today, so I'm sort of trapped in here next to him. So feeding him the children's Tylenol. And,
how old is your son?
Maybe 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mine is 6 and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You bring him out on the road with you? Or?
No. My son is 6 and a half. My daughter's 10 and a half, and we're playing up in New Hampshire tomorrow night. My daughter's going to the show. My son doesn't want to go because he says it's too loud.
Too loud, huh? Yeah, mine is...
He went when he was real small, of course, when I went out actually on Third Stage.
Right.
He came to a couple of those shows. That must have just shocked him.
Too much. I've taken mine to about 4. He's been to 2 New Kids on the Block concerts.
Yeah, my daughter went to one of those.
He's been to see Robert Plant, speaking of communication breakdown.
Oh, well, that's good.
Plant bought him lunch one day. So,
is that right?
Yeah, so it's one of the big little thrills of his life. Of course, he doesn't know the importance of Robert Plant or anything.
Well, he will, because he'll still be playing Led Zeppelin when he's...
80, probably.
Or so, I imagine.
Right. And let's see, what else has he been to? Oh, I took him to the Club MTV tour this summer.
Great.
So, and he thinks they're too loud as well. But anyway, you're one of my favorites, and it's kind of good to talk to you. I tried to get an interview with you back on Third Stage, and I had severe difficulty through MCA.
I'm really surprised.
Yeah.
Because generally, you know, those things go fairly smoothly for me. This one, the way I screwed this up was normally Jeff Albright will call me and say, you know, you have an interview such and such a time.
Right.
And then I just call, he'll leave a message on my machine. But this one arrived via fax over at Barry's house. Barry just got a fax machine.
Oh, neato.
So he
You've moved into the 90s officially.
Yeah. So he gave me this slip of paper, had the information on it, but not having it on my machine, not writing it down myself, I totally spaced. Also, I think... Wednesday, I'm not sure where I was, but we've had a couple gigs. We just had a third one last night. So being in the middle of that...
I thought you'd be calling, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, well, good. Well, I'm glad we were able to finally hook up here.
Yeah. So anyway, so how did the whole thing with Barry come down that you guys got together? Why didn't he go out with Boston? That's another question.
Why didn't Barry?
Yeah.
Well, Barry left actually before, so he really wasn't involved in Third Stage at all. He was the first one really to leave the band.
Was he invited to be back?
No, not for this one, really, because he, as I say, right after he left, he went to a solo album. That was in 1980, which I sang on half of. And then he, and basically he left because he just wanted to pursue his own musical interest. So I don't think there was a real desire on his part to go back. And when Tom was finishing up Third Stage, of course, Tom wound up playing guitar on... actually, not just guitar, but almost all the instruments on Third Stage. But he was looking for a guitar player to help him towards the end of that project and someone to go out on the road, and that's where Gary Peel came in. Gary, you probably know, used to play with Sammy Hagar.
Right.
And we did almost the whole second tour with Sammy Hagar as an opening act, and Gary was in the band. So he was someone that was known to us and that everybody liked. So Tom gave him a call, and he wound up coming in and finishing up Third Stage and then, of course, going out.
So did Barry and Tom just not get along? Or?
Well, there was some friction there for a while, and I think that, I don't even remember specifically now because that was...
It's been 13 years ago, right?
Yeah. But basically, there was probably just a... maybe a personality difference or whatever, and they had certain musical differences, and Barry felt, you know, he'd like to just go off on his own and try some things. So, again, he did 2 records. He did the solo one, and then he had a band called Orion the Hunter.
Right.
And he's really hasn't stopped working on things since then. He hadn't been out on the road since Orion, but the keyboard player that went out with him on that band has stayed with him, Brian Mays, who's in RTZ.
Okay.
And so they've been working, and the drummer, Dave Stefan, Nelly, who's with us now, used to play with Brian, so that's how he acquired him. And they've been working on demos off and on and working with different singers. And when I finished Third Stage, when we get off tour, it was is at a point where the singer Barry was working with was moving. He moved to St. Louis. And so Barry was looking for somebody else to come in and basically work on, they were sort of demos, and they were sort of, you know, he was just sort of putting material together just to see what would happen. And
now, what's it like for you guys not working, though? I mean, is it the thing where you've got enough royalties rolling in from Boston that you don't really need to work?
Well, financially, we were fortunate in that, you know, the record sold well enough, so we're not all multimillionaires, but we were comfortable.
Right. And,
so, yeah, in that sense.
The advent of the CD probably just resold everything back again, right?
Yeah, I guess that did help as well. Of course, we had, for a long time, we had a $20 million lawsuit hanging over our heads with CBS, which Tom eventually won. But so that didn't make people feel real comfortable. But that was, for me, I was so far removed from that it was sort of unreal.
But you got a nice house and you got money coming in. You really don't need to work.
Yeah, we did okay. And also, I had a couple offers during that period of time after the between the second tour and the event. You know, years later,
right.
The third one. But Tom felt that I don't think he was ever really sure when the record was going to be finished, and sometimes he felt, gee, I'm real close to getting it done, and then something would happen and it would get held up. So I remember asking him at one point about the possibility of doing a side project or something, and at that time he wasn't real keen on it,
right.
Because he didn't want people to think that the band had broken up.
Right.
And of course Tom and I continued to work together anyway.
So Boston is not broken up?
Tom is working, actually right now, he moved within the last, I don't know, year or so.
From Boston?
So he had to move his whole studio, and it took him quite a while. He decided when he moved this time that he wanted to have everything set up, you know, exactly the way he wanted. He doesn't work with an engineer, so everything has to be placed where he can have access to all the machinery and so forth. So it took him quite a while to get his studio just the way he wanted it, but he finally did. And the last time I saw him was right before I went out actually to record this record
in
California, and I went over his house, and he played me some stuff that he was working on with the guys, the whole band from Third Stage, with probably the notable exception of me.
Right.
Because I'm working, I'm doing this with Barry.
But you are going to do the vocals and this stuff.
Well, I'll be quite honest with you, I really don't know. I think scheduling will have a fair amount to do with it. I know they're working on music now, and stuff came together so quickly on this project with Barry that before we knew it, we really have a couple albums worth of material. So we're sort of looking forward to maybe going back in the studio with RTZ and doing another record. And
well, Tom doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would mind waiting a little while for you.
Well, I don't know if it's so much waiting or he just might have his hands full. But to be honest with you, I wish I could answer it a little more specifically, except to say that they are working, so there'll definitely be another Boston record.
But he lives in California now.
I'm sorry?
Tom lives in California?
No, he still lives out here.
Oh, okay, because I thought you said you saw him in L.A. or something like that.
No, I saw him the day before I left to go out to L.A. We recorded, the RTZ record was recorded out in California.
Okay, and you all are from Boston now?
Well, actually, I live in New Hampshire, technically. I'm just over the line.
In Manchester or somewhere around there?
Salem.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, there's a racetrack up there.
That's interesting, because I have some friends that live in Manchester. I was going to come up next weekend to see the Patriots game.
Why?
Because I'm a huge Oilers fan.
Oh, okay.
I'm the world's, nobody goes to the Patriots game to see the Patriots.
Well,
they go to see the other team.
Turn that around this year, but after last week,
right.
We're becoming skeptical again.
Yeah, Cleveland sucks. It's the Colts.
It's a nice new stadium now, anyway. They can have real grass there.
Right.
So, yeah, that should be fun. Yeah, I don't live too far from Manchester at all, actually.
Oh, really? So, what's in the works?
I skipped around there. I got lost. But
what's the next thing for RTZ? You guys going to tour?
Yeah, as I say, we're playing in Boston tonight. We're playing at a club that's been newly renovated. It's called the City Club. And it's been shut down for a while. Every year they change the motif around. So
this is the kind of thing I was trying to find. I was going to come up to Boston next week, and I'm like, let me find out. Let me hunt down a band.
Yes, as I say, we had our third gig last night. We played at a little club down in Connecticut. Not so little, really, called The Sting.
Oh, okay.
We played a little place down on the south shore of Boston, on the Cape. It was our first show. It was like, I think, 350 people or something that we packed in this little club, which was great. I had a great time. And then we played out in Western Mass, too. Basically, we wanted to do a couple of little warm-up things before we played in town, because I'm sure that we'll be reviewed tonight, so this will be like the first.
Right. Biggie.
Yeah, the one that's going to get in the paper.
So Steve Morris will be there for you.
I'm sure Steve will be there. I hope he'll be there. So, yeah, we're doing that, and then we're playing a place called the Hampton Beach Casino up in New Hampshire tomorrow night. And then I'm not sure. There are some offers that have been going around, but I don't think there's anything real concrete after that point. We're trying to decide whether we're going to possibly hook up on a big tour with someone, or whether we can just set up a club tour or do something of that nature.
Right. They're playing your song here Until Your Love Comes Back Around.
Is that right?
They're playing Until Your Love Comes Back Around here. Is that,
oh, really?
Is that the first single?
Great. No, actually, Face the Music was the first single.
Well, they're playing, I mean, that song is getting played 5-6 times a day. It's heavy, heavy rotation.
Boy, that's very interesting.
Do you know Russ Motla?
I think I've talked with him.
He's from Worcester.
Uh-huh.
He was at BBM, is that the correct station? Or which the rock station in Worcester?
AAF in Worcester.
AAF, okay.
That's right, yes.
He used to be there, and he's here now, and he's just, like, he hits Aerosmith, you guys, Extreme, and, the Cars. Very hard.
The
only thing he doesn't play is Del Fuego.
But oh, really?
He plays all the rest of the Boston. He plays Boston a ton, too.
Wow.
You know, I hear rock and roll band and stuff like that every day.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, as a matter of fact, just recently I heard that the label was considering releasing that as a single. They've already released, I don't know how it works, CHR Radio and AOR and all that stuff, but they released the second song on the CD, There's Another Side, to the, AOR stations, and they've released the third song, All You've Got, to CHR.
Well, I guess to anybody's discerning ear, it sounds like Boston. Can you argue with that? Or
One song in particular, or just in general? I think the fact that I'm singing on all of it is probably, there's going to be, an unmistakable reference there. And the fact that Barry's guitar, I think, is recognizable as well. But I think when we did the record, we really didn't try one way or another to say, let's try and sound like this, or let's try not to sound like this. The whole idea was just for us to play stuff that we enjoyed. And actually, the name RTZ came about kind of fortuitously. We had a bunch of material, but we had no name for the band at that time. And of course, the more you try and sit and think of a name, the harder it is.
Yeah, there's a band in Baltimore that said that, and they sat around and they were thinking, and the one guy said, "Wow, what a burst of silence!" And that was it. That's what they named their band.
I thought the name behind Extreme was kind of interesting too.
No, I don't even know that. I interviewed them the other day.
Years when they used to play in town before they got signed, they used to be called The Dream. And then they found out that somebody else had copywritten that name or something. They couldn't use that, so they started out calling themselves Extreme.
Oh, Extreme. Okay.
And then it turned into Extreme, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay.
But anyway, RTZ. Again, we had no name for the band, and Barry has a 16-track studio at his house that we demo everything at. And I just finished doing a vocal, and I went into the control room to listen to what I had just done, and Barry had to go upstairs and take a phone call. So as he was leaving, I said, "Barry, what do I have to do to get this tape to play back, because I don't do anything in the studio."
You're a studio idiot.
Thing, totally illiterate in the studio. So he said, "There's a little button on the console, RTZ. Just hit that, and it'll." I looked at it, and obviously it's for the tape counter, return to zero. And I thought, I just liked the way it looked on the little button. And Barry came down. He said, "What do you think about this for a name for the band?" And it made sense, because Barry and I really started playing. First time I met him, we were both in high school, and he came to audition for a band that I was in. So we go back quite a ways, and we wanted to, the way we work is Barry will usually give me a cassette with the basic chord changes on it, and then just let me do what I want with it. And I'm a big Beatles fan, always have been. So I think we just tried to sort of let our influences show up on this. And there's a couple songs in here, to me anyway, that sort of have that influence. One of them is This Is My Life, was written very much in that kind of style. We even had, we had Brian use the cello samples and things like the George Martin type stuff on it. And so there's a lot of that, but as you say, I think that the fact that I'm singing and Barry's playing on it, there'll definitely be a sound that's somewhat reminiscent of that. But I'd like to think that it maybe, you know, takes a couple of different directions as well.
Is it a situation where Tom just takes too long for you? I mean, were you as antsy as the whole world was in 1985 when, you know?
It was frustrating in a way, and to be perfectly honest with you, I think to some extent I took great advantage of that. I found it to be a good excuse not to have to do anything, and I'm guilty about admitting that, but I've got two kids, and I got to spend a lot of time at home with my family, and if someone says, well, you know, what are you guys doing? I say, well, you know, we're waiting for Tom to do this. And that was partly true. As I say, as I started to mention before, he wasn't real keen initially on me doing other things. And so I took full advantage of that and said, well, okay, I'll stay home and play with the kids. And
hell yeah, as long as you got enough money. Eh?
But it really, for me, created sort of an insecurity, feeling of insecurity, because the more time I took off, it's like when you go back to school after summer vacation. You know, you get so used to it, and then when you have to go back. So I had kind of mixed feelings about it, but it was a hole that I dug for myself, and it took a while to get back into it. When Third Stage came out, I had a real insecurity complex, which I haven't totally mastered yet. But I, looking at it from both sides now, I would say that trying to keep busy is probably the best thing in the long run.
Yeah, I think the jury was way out. You know, when I went to see you, I saw you in Philadelphia because I was very excited that you guys were playing again. I saw you in Philly in June. You didn't make it down here till the end of September on that tour.
Yeah.
And I went up there, and I'm like, I wonder how his voice sounds after 8 years. I mean, did you do any singing? Or?
Well, I worked off and on with Barry, actually, over that period of time on things. And I was working on some stuff of my own, not real. I wasn't playing out at all. I didn't play any clubs or anything. Well, before we went out on Third Stage, we rehearsed. We spent a tremendous amount of hours in rehearsal. So I, from a singing standpoint, I felt pretty good when we went out. But from a personal kind of emotional standpoint, I think the lawsuit and everything is as far removed as I was from it. And Tom was right in the thick of it. I don't know how he did it. But I think emotionally that kind of stuff has to take a toll on you as well.
Right.
It just changes your perspective on things. Because for me, the whole enjoyment of this, you know, was not really the business end of it. It was just going out and playing.
Right.
And that kind of got shoved in the background.
Well, it must piss you off to see everybody trying to get a hand in your pie, you know? I mean,
it's not even so much, again, it really isn't. It's not so much the money. It's just all the music. You know, what's the point of, I didn't really see the point of going into all that stuff. It had nothing to do with playing music.
Right.
But,
you know, I talked to Billy Joel, and he's been ripped off so many times over the years, and, you know, he had the same feeling. It's just the fact that these people are making a living off of him, and they haven't done anything.
Yeah,
you know,
it is, I guess it is kind of frustrating from that standpoint, too.
Right.
I went to see Billy Joel on the Stormfront tour, because it happened that his tour manager was the tour manager for Third Stage.
Who is that?
Max Lubiere.
Okay, right. I talked to Max.
Max is a great guy. I enjoyed that a lot.
So this RTZ is...
I'm sorry. I keep skipping around.
Well,
talking about...
I'm just talking about the success and what you're expecting from RTZ.
Uh-huh.
You don't really need this to be successful, or is this really your big project now? So
I think we'd like it to be successful because that would mean that it's accepted. Really, for me, that's the real criteria. I love for people to say, gee, you know, I like the way it came out, or you like for people to be able to relate to it. record sales, I mean, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt to sell some records. That's fine. But for me, that was just, I just feel fortunate that I've been able to do this all these years and not be working at Hot Watt, where I used to work this place making heating elements. You know, I haven't done that since Boston really took off. So that's nice. I'm hopeful that people will kind of take to this. Hopefully, it's doing okay at this point, and I'm really looking forward to going back and doing up the other songs that we've demoed. There's two or three that we do in the show now, and I like them as well as anything on the record here, also. So it's exciting for me to go back in and do something that I like it to get out on the radio so that other people can hear it. I think it's that kind of notion of. You know, there's no point in seeing a beautiful sunset if nobody else sees it. So when you do something, it's great for other people to be able to hear it and to have a few people come back and say, yeah, you know, I get what you're doing.
Right.
It's kind of a nice thing.
So you said you had been asked to sing for other bands during the 8 years?
There was just a couple of small projects. It wasn't anything like, will you leave and join this group?
Van Halen didn't come recruiting you then.
No, actually, Sammy Hagar had talked to me at one point about doing a song with him. That was before he joined Van Halen. I think he wound up doing it with Mike Reno. He did a song.
God, I've never heard that.
Remember the Heroes, I think it was called.
I never heard it.
But anyway, that's really kind of a minor point, I guess. One thing I did want to mention, you had asked about working with Tom and the fact that he took so much time. My whole feeling was working with Tom is he has such a strong idea about what he likes, you know, and what he wants. And we started working in 1970. So at this point in time, when we were doing Third Stage, I had a pretty good idea of what he liked and didn't like about my voice. And he knows, you know, what he wants to hear from me. So when I go in, I don't really try and, you know, I don't have any real heavy opinions generally about the songs, because I know that by the time he calls me in, he's got it pretty well thought out as far as the melody. He writes most of the lyrics and everything.
So you work for him, pretty much.
That's really how it is, and I'm happy to do that because I really feel... I know that he's real sincere about what he does, and so I'm happy to go in and, you know, help him try and get the sound that he wants. Whereas working with Barry's interested in playing guitar, and he wants somebody to come in and do the singing. He doesn't sing, and so that's a great situation for me because I can just take these chord changes, because I don't consider myself a very good guitar player. I can play rhythm, play some chords. But I'm not as at home with that. So it's great because I get, you know, he gets to play guitar and I get to just do what I want. So it's a nice merger that way. And then I just feel like there's a little more me in there.
Right.
And those are things that I think every musician has to get out eventually. When I first met Tom and Barry, as I say, back in 1970, I had never written anything at all. All the bands I was in up to that point were cover bands.
Right.
So I learned a fair amount in working with them and got my confidence up a bit to where now I really kind of enjoy doing, writing.
So with the shows you've been doing the last few nights and tonight, are you just doing straight RTZ stuff, nothing else?
Yeah, we're not doing any Boston stuff at all. And the reason for that, there are a couple reasons for that. One is, for me personally, sort of out of respect for Tom, because as I say,
it's his music, right?
With or without me, there will be another Boston record. And the majority of those songs are his. And so, he'll play them again someday and people will get to hear them. So I'm confident of that. And the other thing is that we don't want to confuse people as far as the RTZ thing. It isn't sort of like a, you know, we're not trying to reform Boston. We're trying to sort of stand on our own. So far, people have been very understanding of that, and I'm real appreciative of that because I can see where people would, you know, might expect that, they'll do reform Boston.
Do you think Tom would really go through with it and not have you on the album? I mean, what is Boston without you? I mean,
I think if he did, I think people would be surprised to find out how much was when people say they like the singing on the record and they like the guitars on the record, I think a lot of times what people don't realize, and that, not that they have to, but from a musician standpoint, is I think what they really, what's really impressive on those records to me, not to belittle myself, but are the vocal arrangements, which are Tom's. It's what he did with my voice. And actually, the difference to me is very apparent between my singing on RTZ, the RTZ project, and on Tom's records. Not that it's any better or worse, but it's just different. In, for example, I don't. There might be maybe one song on this new record that's where the vocals are double tracked.
Yeah, like a song like "Cool the Engines" on the last album.
Uh-huh.
That's. I think that's total production, isn't it? I mean.
Yeah, I mean it's to his credit that sound he gets, but like almost all the vocals on all the Boston songs, not all of them, but a great deal of them, are double tracked. The harmonies are double tracked. It's a big, fat sound.
How did you do it live then?
Well, Tom, of course, came up with the Rockman and a number of inventions, and they have, there were a number of doubling machines and things like that that you can use. We didn't use any pre-recorded stuff. He was very adamant about that, to his credit. So it was all live, but there, you know, you can use delays and things on vocals, which also helped to fatten it up. It wasn't...
You guys sounded perfect. I mean, I saw the show three times.
I was real happy with the band, and when we went out, we...
I walked away the first night just blown away. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
I'll tell you what, I can't think of one show on that whole tour where I really thought it was horrendous. Generally, I felt very comfortable for the whole tour, and that was nice. And part of that was due to the fact that the other guys, I think, covered their parts so well. And when we auditioned people to put the band together, that was a big criteria, was that they'd be able to sing the parts, you know, as well as play.
It was just such a solid show. They come out and do, like, those six hits and then just roll right through third stage and then come out at the end. I mean, I figured out, like, you had 27 songs in your catalog and you played, like, 24 of them. I mean, what more could people want? I mean...
We didn't leave a whole lot out. And that was another reason why I felt I was real... It was a great crew, you know, Max and everybody else. We had a great organization. We had a great bunch of guys in the band, and like you say, we tried to cover as much as we could. So when I finished that tour, I really felt obligated, you know, over the years when Tom was working on this third stage and nobody knew when it would be finished because he had legal hassles and everything else. Nobody knew if he'd ultimately ever even want to finish it.
Right.
So when he finally did, I really felt strongly about, you know, going out and promoting it and doing the tour. And when we finished that, I really felt like we had said a lot, you know, as far as that. And that, I think, made me feel more comfortable about delving into something else. For, when I got off the tour initially, I had some things that I wanted to do myself. I was working on a solo album, and I was real pleased with the band that I was working with. I put a band together, but my big mistake was I tried to produce it myself, and I'm not a producer. I found that out from trying to do this. So, and it was around that time that I was working on those demos that Barry had called and said, how'd you like to work on these? And we just had so many songs, and before we knew it, we had, you know, label interest and everything. People were calling, wanted to do this. So I had to set my little project aside, and someday I would like to go back and work on that, because that stuff musically is different from either one of these other projects. So it's just something that, you know, you got something inside you want to get out, and that's the whole motivation for me.
So when do you expect to be on the road with this?
Well, I wish I could tell you concretely. I think Barry would like to be on the road yesterday.
Christmas?
And it's, yeah, I would hope. I would hope probably this fall. When we played last night, I talked to Barry, and he said we had an offer to play out in Phoenix in a couple of weeks. There's some kind of outdoor show going on out. Actually, there's one in Phoenix and one in Tucson, I think he said.
Right.
And then we had an offer to do something similar to that out on the West Coast. So when we spoke last night, they were trying to line something up to sort of make it worth the time and travel and everything going out there, maybe do a few other gigs on the way.